This is Film Forums. We're here to inspire, encourage, and inform you the future of film. Visit film-forums.com for more. Our guest for this episode is Kimmy Gatewood, a director, writer, and actor whose debut narrative feature, Good on Paper, is a comedy that takes aim at the darker side of dating. In this in-depth interview, Gatewood emphasises the importance of persevering in the challenging film and television industry, providing advice and encouragement for aspiring filmmakers and actors everywhere. Good on Paper is out now on Netflix.
Hi there, welcome to Film Forums. My name is Aisha Tabeli and I have with me a guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Kimmy Gatewood. I am the director of the film Good on Paper.
Fantastic. What can you tell us about your background and how you got into directing?
I'm an actor by trade. You may have seen a show that I was on recently called Glow on Netflix. I played a wrestler and I come from improv theater and live comedy. If you're familiar with the world, there's no money. You have a black box and so you have to do everything yourself. So you're a writer, director, producer, actor, marketing. You're on the street just handing out flyers to people. I started directing in college actually and really started to seriously pursue it when I was pregnant with my daughter. I kind of hit a point where I was frustrated with the roles that I was getting as an actor. I was playing a lot of wives, girlfriends, prostitutes that had descriptions like pretty, but also secretly funny or whatever, like stupid like roles. And so I wanted to change the roles that I was seeing on screen. I figured the best way to go about doing that is to get behind the camera.
Fantastic. So what was the first project that you were inspired to write and direct?
That's a great question. I guess it depends on whether you're talking about on screen, on the stage. I can say that I really started writing and performing when I was a group called the Apple Sisters. We're a New York-based comedy group. We've been together since 2006, so we've been together forever. And that was a show in which I was doing improv and usually like just like the token girl in the improv group, like all the girls were at the time. And so it was three women. We got together, wrote songs, did our own choreography. And that was kind of a project that I could fully call my own. And it really changed who I am. And that if I want to do something and be something, then you just go out and do it yourself. So
no, it's a great attitude to have. We keep hearing, you know, if you want to work as an actor, create work, because a working actor gets hired as well, you know, so it kind of just has that snowball effect. So it's really good kind of to hear another woman who's like just going out and doing it. It's really, really cool. So in terms of your comedy and improv background, we also had Reggie Hayes on the show before, who you might know from the show Girlfriends back in the 2000s. Also is from a similar kind of comedy improv background. What do you think the benefits are to a young actor coming up?
Well, yeah, I was auditioning for a lot of roles in New York. And so that was waiting for someone to give me permission to perform something and allowing them to have the opportunity. The benefit of comedy and improv is, first of all, you learn how to throw away bad jokes and you learn how to throw away work. You don't get precious with anything. And you also learn to be in the moment, which I think is honestly a lifelong lesson, to listen and react to the thing that's happening right in front of you. And finding the comedy within that, I think, can really strengthen your work as a performer, as a director, as business dude in accounting. Like, improv is just one of those magical things that can apply to many parts of your life.
Fantastic. You talked a little bit about marketing as well there. So is that something that you learned to do on the job, just, you know, to sell yourself? Or is that something that you had a background in before acting? Or
I did not have any background in marketing. I don't know exactly where it came from. But, you know, a lot of those like books that you would buy early on in the career, it's like how to get your movie made or like how to get yourself out there. They're all just marketing books, essentially. Like, and you realize that you have to be your own advocate for yourself, for your show, for your work. And so I did end up just throwing those books away and actually just buying marketing books occasionally and reading them. I got through maybe 50 pages and I was like, I'm not going to go this deep. But I used to have these do these shows called Bringer shows in New York, which if you want stage time as a stand-up comic, you have to bring 5 people or bring 10 people into the theater or into the club. So in Times Square, I would have a flyer with the show and just whether I thought it was going to be a good show or not, I had to get five people in that through that door in order to perform my 5 to 10 minutes of comedy. So I just learned how to talk about it like it was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
So you just like sales pitch them into the audience.
Oh yeah, I remember like a father and son coming in, and I was like, they're not gonna like the show, but they're willing to come.
That's good. You can't do what you can do, right? Like, to get experience. That's good. That's really good. So what can you tell us about your current project, and like, what is it that you feel, you know, what's the voice that you're bringing through it?
So the movie's called Good on Paper. It's about a real life experience that the actor and writer went through. And I think it's a very relatable experience. It's a modern day dating story, but it's also an unusual story because he's definitely not who he said he was. So for me, the movie was really about perception and the female experience in dating, especially somebody in comedy. I come from comedy. Eliza's a stand-up comedian. A lot of people, you know, told her that she shouldn't be doing stand-up. So I think that this film is about, you know, finding your voice and how you perceive yourself, how you perceive other people, how you wish you were perceived. And through the character of Andrea, played by Eliza Schlesinger, who's also the writer, and Ryan Hansen, who is kind of the guy who's putting out how he would like to be perceived and how he wants her to see her, how that kind of plays into society as a whole and with social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, everything, just the pressure of what it is outwardly. And if you look behind the curtain, it's usually just somebody like, you know, in their granny panties. Like, I want to watch a movie. I want to stay home, you know.
Been there. Yeah, the modern dating world is a crazy one, that's for sure. So obviously that, you know, she wrote that and kind of wanted to bring it to life. So how did you guys come together to make that project?
She's been in development with the script for a long time. The story's been with her for, I think, 6 or 7 years. And when she finally found someone to make it with her, she sent out the script to agents. So my agent sent me this script and I really connected with it. I was looking for a project that had a strong female lead that was complicated and interesting, and it hit all those marks. And so I met with her and it was love at first sight. And we developed the script further after we met. She liked my take on it. So we developed the script and we added a couple of fun scenes, and it was an awesome process.
So you guys didn't know each other before, you know, seeing the script. It's interesting to know, because obviously people, they send out their script or they send out their treatment and things like that. And a lot of the time they obviously don't get feedback and they don't know if someone's really reading it at the other end, you know. So it's nice to hear that that obviously worked out and sparked off a working friendship as well.
Yeah. You know, it is funny when you think about this industry sometimes, like, that you're constantly looking, I mean, no matter what, you're looking for the validation of strangers, but you are, like, you know, giving away, like, hoping that a stranger will like your, you know, your baby that you've been working on for 5-6 years and will make it, like, see eye to eye with you on what it is. And this being her first screenplay and this being my first narrative feature, it was a leap of faith for both of us. So I think we shared a lot in common.
So how did you come to get it produced, like getting the, you know, the finances and things like that together? What was that journey like?
A lot of that was done before I entered the picture, but yeah, it was with Universal and then it got acquired by Netflix, and that happened pretty recently because we finished the film in 2020. We finished filming in 2019 and then we locked picture the week before everything shut down. So we were doing ADR and all the post-color sound in a very trying time.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, what was that like? I mean, post-production, a lot of it is done remotely anyway, but I mean, was that quite challenging for you, being able to kind of sit down with editors or you know, whatnot?
I mean, luckily we did the editing process before, because that's the thing, that remote editing is a drag. I've done it a couple times in television shows. I love just chatting with editors, and it's like, you know, looking at takes is a little more difficult, but we finished everything before that. So that was good. Doing things like ADR, which you usually do in person, was really hilarious because we, like, Zoom wasn't really quite the thing it is now. So we were like, do we Google Hang? Like, what do we do to see each other? Like, we had to figure out a system. So we just had this, like, one recording device that somebody would drop off, sanitize, give to the actor, and I would Zoom with them on mute and give them notes, and they were listening to the, like, had the playback sync. I mean, it was funny, but you know, I again, coming from like improv, coming from like kind of a scrappy sketch comedy background, you just figure it out, you know. Like, sure, I missed the leather couches in like the ADR session and the free lunch, but it was a global pandemic, so maybe next time I'll get to enjoy the ancillary benefits.
Have you also explored film festivals, you know, in the past or recently? And what was your experience with that, putting films through that process?
You mean film festivals in general?
Yeah, like just in general, kind of what was your experience of the, you know, the process?
Film festival is so great because building a community. I'm lucky enough to be a part of the comedy community, so I have that community. And filmmaking community obviously is a little less social than the comedy community because you're out there on the stage every night, where filmmaking, you're in a box for many, many weeks at a time. So festival is such a great way to get to know filmmakers, see new experimental works of art. My first major film festival was South by Southwest in 2008. I made a documentary film called Nerdcore Rising. We raised $10,000. I raised $10,000 from the bar owners that I was working for at Off the Wagon at the time. And then the woman who I was making the film with, she raised $15,000, I think, from family. And we bought a camera. I learned how to operate a camera, taught myself how to do sound, and we made a documentary film that eventually ended up at South by Southwest. So that was an amazing festival to be a part of, obviously, because it hits all the quadrants of, you know, music and film and tech. And it was so fun to be a part of that at the time. And then I've done a lot of shorts, and I've done festivals. I did a short film called Control with my writing partner, Allison Becker. We premiered at Palm Springs International Short Fest. And, you know, shorts are one of those things that are very dear to my heart. And I think that they're a great way to express yourself for not a lot of money. And to be able to celebrate it with other filmmakers is truly the best. And to watch other people's work, and you can just like plow through a ton of shorts, you know, and get to know people's voices.
Would there be any advice that you would give to a new filmmaker of how to approach that? Like, for example, choosing which festivals to go for and how to narrow things down, or how to handle your budget that can be quite expensive, for example?
Yeah, festivals are very expensive and you need to adequately budget for it. In fact, I would say that I'm on my third short film now, and I would say at least 50%, I've made sure 50% of the budget goes to applying for festivals. I know that that's insane, but my budget's only like $2,000, you know? So depends on how much you have, but you should definitely allocate a couple $1,000s for festivals, because it really is about quantity over, you know, anything. If you want to be getting your name out there and learning what kind of festivals you're going to get into, we all want to apply to Sundance, we all want to apply to the Tribeca, but there is definitely a larger amount of money going into getting certain films into the festival. So you can find, you know, film agents that can help you get films into those bigger festivals. But, you know, I think for me, it's really about just getting to know other filmmakers across the region. And so depends on the type of film. Like this most recent film I did called Naval Gazers. It's a short about a future in which everyone's been looking at their screens and their phones so much that their spines are permanently shaped like an upside down J. So it's kind of like in the vein of Her. And I found a nice community in like sci-fi. Whereas my first short, Control, we found great success in Palm Springs. And then we found actually that we had a bit of a horror niche to our film as well. So it's really just about kind of listening to who's saying yes. And, you know, if there's a certain community you're a part of, obviously I apply to a lot of the festival that are female forward festival. I've learned a lot about festivals by going to the panels, you know, over the years as well. And the one thing that they do say is just reach out if you know programmers, and just know that if you don't get into one festival, all the programmers do talk to each other. So they do recommend you to other festivals around the country and stuff. So,
I mean, I have to say that, you know, the film agents getting you into festivals is not something that I was aware of. I've heard, like, you know, that the bigger festivals is harder to get into because of, well, sheer volume, obviously. And they tend to be working with higher production value films in general as well. But that's really interesting to hear that, you know, you can go to people who understand the application process for specific festivals like that and really help you to get in. I think that's amazing.
They'll help you campaign. They'll help you get your correct kind of marketing strategy, like ready to advocate for your film in the festival. I would say it's the same thing as award shows. You know, people put a lot of money into trying to get people to vote for them. So it's on a smaller level, obviously, but there's definitely there is a strategy involved.
It makes perfect sense. That it just hadn't occurred to me before, but yeah, absolutely. So you obviously talked a little bit earlier as well about, you know, being a female in comedy and, you know, being kind of difficult to break down those barriers. And that's something that's spoken about a lot. It is hard for female comedians to really make it big. Pretty much every single one has spoken about it. What would you say is, you know, your advice? Like, how did you break down those barriers and get yourself in front of the right people?
I created my own work. I didn't wait for someone to, I didn't ask for permission. I just made my own work. And it feels weird to have to say, like, I deserve this. You know, it's a strange sensation. Or like, I deserve success just like everyone else. You just have to remind yourself that every other person who has had success has had to say that to themselves once or twice. And it's like, it feels gross. It doesn't feel good. But you know, you are your best advocate. Again, going back to, if you want 5 people to walk into the door and so that you can have your stage time, you have to hand out those 5 flyers and convince 5 people to come in so you can have your stage time. I feel like I've had to be probably 4 times more prepared than maybe perhaps a male counterpart at a lot of comedy job interviews, anything like that. But it's just where we're at right now. And I feel great going into an office. I'm very prepared at all times. Yeah, I think just continuing to find your allies and advocate for yourself. You really just know that you're going to fail. And it's not like you're representing all women and all women have failed. It's just like, just continue to like, be okay with the success, be okay with the failures that come along with it, and just continue to plow through, because this industry is about persisting, I guess I would say, and just keep on going. And just because it doesn't happen with the first one, just because it doesn't happen with the second one, it's okay. I found this directing career, basically, it's like a second career for me, because I was an actor for a long time and I didn't get my big break as an actor until I was about to quit. And then I got Glow and I was already kind of pursuing this directing career. But oddly enough, my big break on acting has fueled my directing career, because I suddenly am more visible in the industry. So just keep going.
It's amazing, you know, like I keep hearing that like again and again. So many people say the exact same thing, that they got properly in the door just as they were about to give up. It's so amazing and crazy to hear, but doing this show, I'm hearing it again and again, and it's just so wonderful that you guys really persevered and now it's paying off for you. That's what it's all about. You work hard for years, so it's a shame to give up.
It is a funny thing, like you hit all the way to the bottom where you're about to leave. And I sometimes wish you could encapsulate that energy in everything that you do, where you're just like, fuck it. It doesn't matter because I'm at the door anyway. If you could just find that energy in everything you do, just like, I'm just gonna leave it all on the table. If you like it, great. If you don't, I'm out. I got something else to do.
That's a phenomenal attitude. I totally agree. I always say, because I come from like a sales background, like outside of acting, for me, like I'm invested in the audition, but I don't get hung up on it if it's a no, because for every no, there's a yes that's coming. And I know that from sales, that a lot of it is numbers, you know, a lot of it is volume, you know, as you mentioned with the film festivals too. There's going to be a lot of no's, but the yeses are going to be worth it. They're going to be the ones that are right for you. If you didn't get it, you weren't right for it. That doesn't mean that you're a bad actor. So it's really nice to hear, you know, that you have a similar kind of outlook on rejection, I guess.
I mean, listen, I have definitely cried in my car more times than I can possibly tell you. So I have to remind myself of it, but it's hard to practice sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Did you struggle with it more like when you were less experienced, do you think?
Yeah, the great thing with just sticking it out in this industry is definitely knowledge, and the knowledge that another audition will come, another opportunity will come. Like there will be more opportunities around the corner. When you're just starting out, it feels like, if I don't get this, I failed. And if I don't, like everything, like you're so close to having your life change so many times, it definitely kind of gets to you. And I don't know if any amount of knowledge will ever kind of solve that fear, But if you can just go in knowing that you're probably not going to get up most of the roles you go out for, like, then hopefully that would just help ease the pain a little bit. It's the financial aspect of it, where if it's easier for someone who is financially stable to have that attitude, whereas when I was starting out, my dad's a contractor, my mom is a stay-at-home mom, we didn't have a lot. And so I had to work, you know, the night shift at the bar and then wake up and memorize 7 pages of dialogue. And I was like, ugh. It wasn't like I could really like fully dive in and focus on everything. So, but just know that like the hustle is worth it.
No, absolutely. I think that it is a very different thing for working class actors, you know, like us, trying to balance normal life, especially as you get older as well. You have a family, or you know, you have a partner, and you've got to balance so many things, especially financially. I can completely resonate with that myself. I've had periods as well where I've just worked like crazy and then stopped working, lived off of savings, and then gone back to work. So what was your side hustles?
Yes. So I worked at a bar called Off the Wagon in New York City. I worked at a lot of bar jobs, worked at a place called Live Bait. I worked at Westbeth Theater. I was doing Eddie Izzard's tour travel plans. I never met him, but I know who he is. One point in New York, I was like giving out free samples of jelly out of a trailer. It was like one of those temp jobs. They're like, well, we need actors. But I worked at the City Bakery here in Los Angeles and made coffee for celebrities. That was fun. My last real big side hustle job was a place called The Varnish downtown, where I learned how to make the best cocktails a girl will ever have, and I'm forever spoiled by these delicious cocktails. I was serving like $14 cocktails to people, like making $12 an hour plus tips. So that was one of the best side hustles I've ever had. And there's a book about it actually now. And I told a story and I didn't realize at the time that I had put together a marriage.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show and obviously, you know, sharing your journey with us and the wonderful wisdom that comes from just getting that success and getting to that level now where your film's coming out, Netflix, it's doing it all, which is amazing. You're very welcome to obviously come back in the future, let us know what you're up to, kind of stay in touch with the platform.
Yes, absolutely. I'll see you. The next film will definitely be in theaters.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Visit film-forums.com for more.